Hello and welcome to the next episode in our series of podcasts for Equine Health Week 2025 in partnership with Argria, covering all the key life stages that our horses will go through. As we near the end of the week, we are turning our attention to older horses who might be reaching the latter stages of their ridden careers or moving into retirement, and how we can best manage this process to ensure they stay happy and healthy and getting the most out of life. Joining me to discuss this is Nicola Housby-Skeggs, who is the veterinary director at the Horse Trust, providing veterinary care to around 140 horses who live on site at the charity. Previously, she served in the Royal Army Veterinary Corps and served as veterinary officer for the King's Troop Royal Artillery and the Household Cavalry Mounted Regiment. Welcome, Nicola.
Thanks, Rachel. Thank you for having me.
And also, you should flag here, you may remember Nicola because she actually joined us last Equine Health Week to talk about worming. So do check out that episode. It should be on our website or wherever you found this episode of the podcast. So diving into it then, Nicola, when we're talking about a veteran for a horse, what does that actually mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. I think the definition is, or certainly was at one point, any horse over the age of 15. I think as horses are living longer, that's probably not really true. So I think you can kind of look at it as horses that have reached a certain age, or horses that are reaching retirement, or you can look at it as when age-related disease starts to occur. So I, for the purposes of today, I'm ignoring the actual age. What I'm talking about is horses that are starting to show age-related change. So for some horses, that might be at 15. For some, that might not be until 25. And aren't they lucky?
Yeah, well, and that's the key thing, as you say, it all sort of happens at different ages for different horses. But what might some of those age-related changes be? What should we be looking out for in our horses?
So there's a few kind of big things, I think, that we tend to notice in our geriatric horses. And it tends to be around their mobility or their capability. And they just start to slow down a little bit, perhaps have a little bit of exercise intolerance. They start to get, you know, a little bit stiff. Their weight distribution, their ability to sort of build muscle starts to change. And I think, you know, and also we get that sort of very typical grey-haired appearance is probably the big thing. So I think for me, what I always say is, it's really easy to put these things down to, oh, well, they're just getting old. And things like having a bit of grey hair is just getting a little bit old, and that happens to all of us. But I think things like horses starting to become stiff, or horses starting to struggle to put on muscle or retain muscle, I think they're very easy for us to say, oh, well, you know, they're getting old. And to ignore the fact that some of these conditions might either have underlying pathology to them, or might be uncomfortable, might be painful for them. And I think they're the really important things to look out for, is don't just discount it as an aging change. Assume that it probably is an aging change, like arthritis, but it might also be causing some pain.
And I guess as well, that's where it's important to work with the practitioners that you've got seeing your horse, treating your horse, be that the vet, the farrier, any body workers you've got with them, and, you know, trying to keep track of those changes, work together to come up with ways of managing that horse and paying that little bit more attention, I guess, because some of these things will be seasonal.
Absolutely. And I think also, you know, often they're not, perhaps you're not riding them as often. They might become a bit more, you know, in the field, or a bit of a happy hacker. And I think it's quite easy not to notice things, like especially through the winter, they've got a bit of a fluffy coat, so perhaps it's more difficult to monitor their weight. So I think it's, you know, it's making sure that you really are monitoring them, monitoring any changes that are happening. And actually, when your vet comes out for your vaccination or for something like that, it's a really good time to just review with them, you know, what was their body condition score like this time last year? What was that? If you've got the ability to weigh them, is to compare weights with the same time the previous year, because horses' weight will naturally fluctuate through the seasons. But if you've got an idea of what their weight looks like at different times of the year, you can look back a full year and see, well, are they a lot thinner than they were a year before? Are they a lot fatter than they were a year before? Mm-hmm. Slightly depending on the type of horse that you've got. I think the other big things are to notice you know, dental problems are a really big one that starts to happen in older horses. And I think, again, one of the big things I hear is, especially around this sort of routine healthcare, is, oh, well, they're retired now, so we don't really worry about the vaccinations. We don't really worry about their teeth. Now, if they're not out competing, I can understand that you may, if you've been doing sort of 6 monthly flu vaccinations, for example, for competitions, that might be something you can drop back to yearly. But actually, keeping them vaccinated, as they become older, their immune systems aren't quite so good. So those vaccinations actually become more important. And they're, in the grand scheme of things, they're relatively cheap, and certainly cheaper than having a sick horse. Keeping those vaccinations up, you know, tetanus as well, they're still going to be prone to getting tetanus if they get a nasty wound or anything. So keeping on top of those vaccinations, but also using that vaccination appointment as your annual sort of point with your vet to have a really good look at everything, to just try and pick up on any of those changes that start to happen, just to get a little bit of advice about what you can do in terms of feeding and management. And dentals is the other one, is that, you know, their teeth definitely get worse as they get older, and they start to get some painful dental conditions, which actually, if you pick up on them early, you can manage them reasonably well and it won't cost you the earth. Whereas if you sort of neglect getting their teeth done because they're not working, because they're older, sometimes by the time these problems, you know, you really start to see the problems, they're really far gone, and they're either very, very expensive and difficult to sort out, or they're beyond the point where you can do anything to sort them out properly. And then you're sort of into this sort of downward spiral of problems with them. So actually staying on top of that stuff, while it sort of feels a bit, well, you're not doing much with them anymore, but actually staying on top of those things will keep them healthier for longer.
And I suppose that's where things, as you say, like keeping track of their weight, that might be an indication that there is, say, a dental problem, is the fact that they've lost a little bit of weight.
Yeah, absolutely. I think weight, I think weight's a really interesting one, because things like Cushing's disease, so PPID, starts to happen in older horses, and that will change their distribution of fat and their ability to build muscle. They start to get some muscle wastage. So again, picking up on that early and looking at getting treatment for that can be quite useful. And the problem with Cushing's is they quite often get, they're more prone to infections. So things like, they have dental disease, they're very, very prone to getting a sinusitis and pain to treat. So looking at kind of picking up on these things early and getting on top of them and preventing the more serious consequences happening is really, really useful.
Yeah, and one of the things obviously you mentioned there earlier was the fact that their immune systems can take a bit of a hit as they get older. So are there any other kind of health problems, health conditions that we should maybe be a little bit more careful with, looking for in these horses?
Any wounds or any snotty noses, maybe things in a younger horse you would sort of give them a bit of time. I would be a little bit more wary of in an older horse, just because their immune system isn't quite going to do what it should do. Things like wound healing always takes much longer. Foot abscesses take forever. Mud fevers take longer. All those sorts of things in a younger horse they tend to fight off. The other one is you get a, we talked about worming last time, your younger horse population is really susceptible to parasites. Then they kind of go through this period in their sort of middle stages of their life where actually they're relatively able to cope. And then as they get older again, you start to see that these parasite burdens will start to affect them a little bit more in the same way as they would a younger population. So they're much more susceptible to disease associated with that. So remember to stay on top of your worm egg counts is really important as well. The other thing, and not necessarily in older horses, but it's more common in older horses, is starting to see neoplasias, so cancers. They're not exclusive to older horses, but I guess things like melanomas, especially in your grey horses, you probably start, I mean, you can start to see them at any age, but certainly those older grey horses, you start to see melanomas. And I think they're one of the things that certainly years ago, I had a little grey pony growing up and he had melanomas. And it was just one of those things. Grey horses get melanomas, and that is true. But they were sort of thought to be not a lot you could do about them, whereas treatment for them now is becoming much more readily available. And actually, again, you might not be able to remove all of them, but there's certainly some that might be in places that are likely to cause problems that your vet can advise on. And if they're moved when they're really small, then it stops them getting big. It stops it becoming a big surgery. So there's things like that that you can consider and certainly talk to your vet about.
Definitely. And obviously, as horses get older, putting them through things like surgeries is going to take more of a toll on them. So if we can get those things looked at sooner and treated early, then that's also going to be a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because I say, you know, everything heals a little bit slower the older you get. So, you know, putting a horse through surgery, putting them through a minor surgery younger is much nicer than a big surgery older.
And then, so we talked about there at the beginning about the veteran point being the point where maybe they're starting to slow down, needing their workloads reduced. What are some of the signs then that your horse might be in that position that he might need to start taking things a little bit easier?
That I normally hear people talking about is, oh, you know, they just take a little bit longer to get going in the morning, or maybe being a bit stickier over jumps. And I think one of the things, actually a real telltale sign with jumping, is people will sometimes say, oh, I used to love jumping and they're just not up for it anymore. And I think possibly some of it is they're a bit tired, but also I think that, you know, if you think about jumping, there's a lot of kind of power needed from the hind end, so they've got to really get their hop flexion, and then they've got quite a, you know, a shock on landing on their forelimbs, so quite a lot of shock absorption through the front legs as well. So I think either the takeoff can become difficult, especially with things like hock pain, stifle pain, fetlock pain, anything like that, just having some slightly sore muscles, that takeoff point can become difficult, but also the shock on landing that maybe is a little bit more uncomfortable if you've got arthritic joints or you've got some soft tissue pain and things like that. So those things are probably the normal things we start to see. And actually, one of the things that I think stopping exercise in older horses is sometimes you have to, sometimes they're not capable of exercising at all. But I think trying to encourage sort of low level but continuous movement, so just reduce the stress on them, reduce the impact on them, but trying to keep their muscle, trying to keep their flexibility, especially their core strength and their top line, the more you can kind of keep that in. It's so things like walking over poles or just going on nice long hacks, you know, getting up and down a few hills and things like that. But rather than these sort of short, sharp bursts of quite hard exercise, try and sort of go for these sort of longer periods of gentle movement, you know, get them turned out, get them moving with other horses. And also just keep them interested. So I think just turning them out in the field for a horse that's been doing something its whole life. I mean, some of them absolutely love it and they're quite happy to never be ridden again. But others kind of need that interaction. So just the things like, you know, getting them in and grooming them, making sure they see the farrier regularly, all those sorts of things, I think are just, they keep their mind stimulated as well as their body.
Yeah, because you quite often hear these sort of stories about horses who have hit retirement and that's the point the wheels come off the bus and they've been chucked out in a field and that's kind of it, and suddenly everything starts going wrong. And I guess that's kind of part of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think it's really interesting that the horses, we've got lots of veteran horses here, and you can tell the horses that have really had a lot of muscle in their younger life because they really do keep it into older age. And it's amazing how much better they cope with things like, you know, the farriers picking up their legs and things like that. They tend to stay a bit more supple for longer. And I think all those things are just much nicer. And I think those horses are generally a lot happier.
And something there you mentioned about keeping them moving, will that have an impact on how you're keeping them? Because surely if they're sort of stiffening up and stuff, long periods maybe in the stable or things like that might start to have a bit of an impact on them.
So here we're really lucky. We try not to put anything in a stable. We try not to put them overnight in a stable for long periods in a stable. They'll come in if they've got a vet appointment or a farrier appointment, they'll come in. If they're in sort of overnight or longer, we have some sort of double-sized stables or some barns. Mm-hmm. And so what we'll often do is we'll put them in twos or threes. And we have quite big barns that they can move around in. It sort of depends on the time of the year, because like everyone else, we don't always have the ground for it. But if we can have them on a small paddock turnout rather than on box rest, we'll always try and encourage that so they're not stiffening up. And it is quite incredible how quickly they become quite stiff when they're not moving around at night. I think the other thing as well is if they're struggling a little bit to get up and down, the more space they've got, they can kind of get themselves comfortable. They can kind of find a spot. And we don't tend to have the same problem with horses getting stuck, not able to get up in the morning because they've had a good sleep and then kind of they've got a dead leg or something like that and they get themselves cast. So I think giving them those bigger spaces, and if you can have them outside or in a big barn or a school, anything like that, but they've got a bit more space to roam around, you can. I appreciate not everyone has that, but if you kind of think that way, you might be able to find a compromise.
Yeah, there's always kind of solutions in there somewhere, even if it is adjusting the day or the schedule that your horse is on.
Yeah.
And I guess also possibly the friends he's out with as well. Because if, you know, if he's feeling a bit slower and a bit stiffer, he might not necessarily want to be out with a load of rambunctious youngsters who are going to try and chase him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I think having an appropriate group. I mean, saying that, we've got a group here of older mares who they definitely don't have the healthiest of limbs between them. And they're in a nice group of old ladies who are all supposed to be sensible together. And I have seen them racing up and down the field and up and down the hills multiple times. And I watch them with this sort of absolute red. But yeah, I mean, you can tell them to slow down, but they'll do their own thing.
Yeah, I suppose it's getting away. It's a case of just like, well, listening to your horse. And if that's the day he wants to have, if he wants to have a day of craziness, good on him.
Yeah, and I think there's very little you could do to stop them, to be honest. You sort of try and give them this sedate life. But of course, the moment you turn them out into a new field, it doesn't even have to be big. They will get up an enormous amount of speed. They'll hurl themselves around. They'll do all sorts of stupid things. So actually, I think, trying not to coop them up too much means that move into a sort of bigger area or going outside is less exciting. So maybe you don't get the explosion that then leads to an injury. I mean, saying that, I try very hard to keep our sensible here and they still do all sorts of stupid things. So
horses will be horses.
Yeah, exactly. And they do think they're 3-year-olds sometimes. So, you know, what can you do?
And we sort of touched on it briefly earlier, but if your horse is at a point where maybe say ridden work is a little bit beyond him now, what sort of things could you be doing with him that, you know, maybe don't involve quite so much movement or quite so much energy or in, you know, work, but are still gonna get his mind ticking and give him quite a sort of an enriching retirement that he's not just kind of switching off somewhere in a field?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a group of mini Shetlands that we certainly can't ride. Some of them are a bit older. And I think this works for the bigger horses too. So we've got a little one at the moment that's really struggling. He hasn't got a lot of muscle on him and far too small to do anything meaningful with. So he goes into the school and he does some raised poles and he goes on a walk around the farm and he goes all the way around the visitor's track and he goes and visits all the other horses around the fields. It's a little bit like taking a dog for a walk. But we can definitely do that with some of the bigger horses as well. One of the really nice things, a favourite that I like doing it with, but we do with some of the others is treasure hunts for them. So take them into the school or take them into a stable or a barn and just put, you know, little handfuls of carrots around, bits of swede around, some feed, some different buckets, hay nets at different heights, some different smells and things like that. So I think it was the girls used it, maybe mint or something they were using the other day. So there's sort of strong smells coming from different places. They can just go and explore and have a little bit of a look around. And I think we always try to keep them with a friend, so they're not on their own. So they've got that sort of ability to, you know, you see the mutual grooming. They do play together a little bit, and just that sort of company. So that's probably one of the other big things we try and do to just make their lives, you know, a bit nicer.
Yeah. And something I did sort of wonder, have we talked a lot about the physical changes that horses are going to have as they age? What about cognitive changes? Do you see, because obviously we talk about older people and there is sometimes a little bit of degeneration there. Do we see that with horses as well?
That's a really good question. I don't know scientifically. My experience would be, I think they're more switched on because I think they've practiced all of their behaviours for a really, really long time. So they know exactly what works and what doesn't work. So if anything, we have something that quite entertains, which is the walk bolt. So most of our horses can't be bothered to bolt. So if they don't want to do something, they do not break out of a walk. They'll just walk off in whichever direction they want to go. And it's limited effort, but very, very effective. And you can't stop them because they're huge and they've made a decision. So I don't know. I haven't seen that degeneration with them. I think if anything, they're sort of more subtly in charge of us. So I think they're brighter, if anything.
With age comes wisdom.
Yeah, I think so.
And so we talked quite a bit earlier about sort of dental issues and maybe and weight changes and things like that. But I imagine also if your horse is sort of maybe more prone to losing weight than he was when he was younger, you might have to be rethinking some of the choices around feeding and forage.
Yeah, absolutely, Rachel. So I think the first thing is when they first start to reduce work, if they've got good teeth and are generally quite well, I think the first thing to watch out for is them gaining weight. So they sort of start doing a little bit less, spending a bit more time in the field, perhaps a bit more time with their hay net, and they start to put on a bit of weight, which is easily done. So we want to watch out for that. And then as they start to really go into the sort of older years, what we find is, you know, their teeth aren't quite as effective as they used to be. So they start to develop that dental disease. Perhaps they're not carrying as much muscle or they're struggling to put on weight a little bit as a result of that. So we want to think about giving them something that they are actually able to eat is the first thing. So things like traditionally we want to feed horses long fibre. So, you know, hay, grass, things like that. And then what they do is they chew that, it breaks down nicely. And then when it gets to their hind gut, it ferments and that creates quite a lot of heat as well. So that keeps them nice and warm. Whereas actually, if your teeth aren't working so well, there's a couple of things start happening. You don't chew properly is the first thing. So then you're more prone that chewing produces a lot of saliva. So if horses aren't chewing properly and they're just swallowing food, they're a little bit more prone to getting choke because the food isn't as well lubricated to go down their esophagus into the stomach. So occasionally you can see more problems with choke. And then, of course, if they're not able to eat long fibre, they don't have the same amount of fermentation going on, so they're perhaps more likely to get cold. So some of our older horses with really bad dental disease can't chew properly at all. So they're on these sort of veteran feeds that you make into a mash. And the mashes are very fibre-based, which is really good because it means the hind gut is having to break them down. But it's really difficult to replace that natural long fibre. So what we often find is we get our calories into them in sort of oils and these sort of fibres made into mashes. But we might need to up their sort of calories in terms of sugars and starches that are digested in the foregut as well. But what we often find is these horses struggle to keep warm. So they're often ones where we do find ourselves rugging them a little bit more in winter just to help them keep that heat in and keep their weight on through the winter.
Do you define then also, if we talked about Cushing's and PPID earlier on, with that is going to come coat changes and maybe a much thicker coat. Do you also maybe see the opposite problem in the summer?
No, they tend to, horses that have well-controlled Cushing's, their coat should start to molt again. Mm. Often, there's a bit of a balance a lot of the time with managing Cushing's where the medication can make them feel a little bit under the weather. So there's a bit of a balance of getting them on some medication, but you can't always get the dose high enough to fully control the disease without them ending up feeling really miserable, and often they become anorexic and they don't want to eat. So sometimes there's a bit of a trade-off of using a slightly lower dose to control the condition, but you don't completely control it because you don't want them to be miserable. So what we sometimes find with those is they get these sort of patchy coats through the summer, so they don't completely get a nice summer coat. To be honest, we clip a lot of them in the summer. So if they've not lost some of that coat and we can't up their medication, just get a pair of clippers out and they feel good as new. And then in the winter they tend to develop these really thick hairy coats, which do keep them nice and warm, but I think also sometimes they can disguise horses being underweight. So I think that's a really important thing, is even if they're fluffy, really get your hands on and feel for their ribs and just check they are as sort of chubby as they look with their fluffy coats.
Yeah, and I suppose also a fluffy coat, if it then gets wet, they might get even colder again and stay wet for longer. So that's where that rugging comes in again.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I think wet horses are much more miserable than, if it's cold, dry day, they tend to be okay. Wet days are definitely the days when they get colder and more miserable.
Yeah. And if you've got any questions, of course, about nutrition, you're finding your horse maybe needs those extra calories or is struggling with the longer fibres, getting a nutritionist, speaking to one of them. Most of the feed companies will have a helpline.
Absolutely. Get
some advice there is always a good place to start.
Yeah. There's some really great veteran feeds out there now, so it's definitely worth having a chat.
Definitely. And lots of, as I say, lots of different options, lots of different mashes and things for the ones that need a bit more calorie. And also more and more, I think we're seeing lower calorie mashes as well. It's quite good.
Yeah.
Well, this has been really interesting, Nicola. I think we've covered quite a lot there in sort of in brief overview and given people lots of things to think about. If they are seeing some of these changes in their horses, where would be the best place to go if they want more information about what to do?
I think the place to start is probably with your vet. Farriers are very knowledgeable. They'll give you lots of information. As we said earlier, speaking to some of the feed companies and the nutritionists can be really helpful as well. And I think there's lots of different information out there. And I think probably the person to take it to is probably have a good chat with your vet at your annual vaccinations, have a bit of a catch up about things, or just get them out to do a general health check and just look at making that sort of healthcare plan for your geriatric horses.
Thank you very much. That's great. And hopefully, as I said, people listening have got plenty of ideas there for what they can do there to help their horses. We have one more day coming up of Equine Health Week. Tomorrow, we are talking about the sad, quite emotional topic of end of life and how planning for that will look. But make sure you look back, check out all the other days of content we've come up with. We've looked all the way through the life cycle of your horse. So you'll find those podcast episodes wherever you found this one, or you can also go to the British Equestrian website, www.britishequestrian.org.uk, where we will have compiled everything as well. Thank you very much, Nicola, for joining us. And thank you, everyone, for listening.